it's lovely to be able to talk to you about the love of God. What an exciting thing to be able to talk about this morning. So my name's Eilis. I did think that I'd heard every variation of ways to pronounce my name by now, but this week I did get called Eyelash, which is a new one to me. And then it transitioned kind of to Eilish by the end of the week. But yeah, that poor person clearly didn't know my name, but that's fine. I get to talk about the love of God today. I'm here, I'm married to Luke. My oldest daughter's there. The rest of them have kind of disappeared, but that's fine. So it's lovely to be here. Now, I thought before we get into the meatier stuff that we'd have a little chat. Does this work? Should do. Where do I point it? At the... Oh, okay. Brilliant. Okay, so we'd look at some Christmas songs and movies. I'm pointing it and it... Okay, I'm being patient, sorry. Okay, so I just wondered if you can name the movies that these clips are from. See how much of a... Love Actually. Well done. What about the next one? The Holiday. Okay. Next one might be a little bit trickier. Yes, impressive. I didn't think anyone would get that one. Four Christmases. Yeah, I'm scared to recommend it in case, yeah, but I find it funny. And then Nativity. Okay, so we all have like these cultural references through Christmas films, and a lot of them are about love, aren't they? And they're about this perfect romance that happens over Christmas. People realize that they love somebody, or they are loved, or everything's perfect, and it always happens in the perfect scenery, in the perfect way, after the dark night of the soul that inevitably happens during the movie. And that's often how we come into the Christmas season, isn't it? Full of hope that this year it's all going to be perfect, that actually maybe we'll find the one, or the one we're with will become the one, or somebody will just see us across a crowded room, or, you know, our home will just look perfect and everything will be perfect. And this is reflected in music as well, isn't it? And I didn't go for the kind of classic Christmas songs. I thought, surely we've moved on in the last 40 years or so. Surely we no longer just sing about love at Christmas. So I looked up what some of the most recent songs to come out are. So Camila Cabello decided to do a cover of I'll Be Home for Christmas. Someday at Christmas by Lizzo, talking about love at Christmas. Nonsense Christmas, apparently if you're sexy enough, you'll have the perfect Christmas. That's also Sia, Naughty and Nice. And then Secret Santa, that heartache of seeing somebody across the room, that first love experience. So no, we haven't moved on at all in music over the last 40 or so years or more. It's still all about finding the perfect love. And actually what it can do is end up making us feel really deceived and really betrayed, can't it? Because even when we think we found the perfect person, we discover they're not perfect, we're not perfect, our home's not perfect, our children aren't perfect, our lives aren't perfect. And we feel like we've been sold this lie. Actually, this was meant to be everything we wanted and needed, and yet it turns out that it's not. And I wanted to go for... Oh, yeah, okay. So we all want love, we need love, we want to give love. But I'm going to argue today that it's only by knowing God's love that we find those needs met. If you pay attention, you'll realize I'm spelling something out this morning. I've never done that before in a preach. I've not preached that many times, and I've always been a bit like, yeah, whatever, they all begin with P or something. But I'm spelling something out with mine. See if you can guess what it is. So my first point is L is for love. Okay, and we're going to be looking at what does real love look like? Is it giving or getting? Is it a feeling or fact? Is it transient or is it eternal? There's a famous quote by George Sands that said, there is only one happiness in this life, to love and be loved. But what does that real love look like? Now, it might surprise you to know this morning, but you're in a church, so... Fortunately or unfortunately, you're going to hear about God's love this morning, because it would be a bit inappropriate for me to talk about lots of other types of love when you've come to church. So, sorry, you're here, so you're going to hear about God's love. And I would say that actually Christmas happens because of love. After a delay. Christmas is part of a plan that was born in eternity past. And this plan didn't start with the birth of Jesus. Actually, the whole of the Bible is one big story of God's love and God's plan. And there are more than 300 prophecies about Jesus that were fulfilled in his coming and in his life. And they were prophesied thousands of years sometimes, hundreds of years before he came. And he didn't have control over so many of the details of them, and yet they were perfectly fulfilled in him. God has had a plan since before time began, as we know it, to show and demonstrate his love. And I love the Jesus Storybook Bible. Those of you with kids might have it. I just love reading it. It just blows my mind. And this is how they describe at the beginning this big story. God wrote, "I love you." He wrote it in the sky and on the earth and under the sea. He wrote his message everywhere. Because God created everything in his world to show him like a mirror, to show us what he is like, to help us know him, to make our hearts sing. And God put it into words too and wrote it in a book called the Bible. The Bible isn't a book of rules. It is most of all a story, one big story. At the center of this story, there is a baby. Every story in the Bible whispers his name. He is like the missing piece in a puzzle. The piece that makes all the other pieces fit together. And suddenly you can see a beautiful picture. And when I was talking about this with Amini last night, I'm going to give you a quote from her. She came up with a quote. "The Bible only makes sense if you read it through the lens of a loving God." So there are tricky passages. There are things we struggle with as Christians. There are things we think, what on earth did God mean? But actually, if you read the whole of the Bible through the lens of a loving God, it makes sense. It is a beautiful picture that you end up with, and it's all about Jesus. And she also talked about author's intent and how when you study a passage, she's very clever. She's at university studying lots of clever literature and things. And I'm really embarrassing her now, but I'm very proud of her as well. And she talked about how you learn about author's intent. What was the intent of the author? Now, there are so many authors in the Bible because it's lots of different books. But actually, that makes it more and more incredible that this one great big picture, this one great big story is painted. Actually, it shows God's intent as the author to show us this story of love. And so how does God define love? Well, we're actually focusing on this verse today. It's a very famous verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Obviously, as Christians, we believe that God exists. We believe that he made us. And so, if we believe we are made by something bigger than us, then we want to know what love means to them, because that is part of how we're made and created. He's made us that way. And God defines love in giving himself to the world. So I believe actually over the crib is a shadow of the cross. Actually, as this baby comes in this lovely, beautiful image, you actually also see the cross. You see the purpose in him coming. It wasn't just to come as a baby, it wasn't just to have angels singing and pronouncing his birth. But actually, he was born miraculously. He lived a sinless life, and he showed love and mercy and compassion all the way through his actually very short life. He died on a cross humbly. As Johnny was saying, his heart was to be humble. And he died for love. And then he rose victoriously so that we can know the power of the love of God. Actually, there's life, not just death. And this is God's amazing plan. So it says in Romans 5, verses 6 to 8, I've used the message because I find it helpful sometimes just to see it written in a more a paraphrased version or a version with words that we might be perhaps relate to but gets to the real meaning, you're obviously free to go and study it in lots of different versions as well. So Jesus presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, and we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatsoever to him. This is God's amazing plan. We didn't do anything, we didn't deserve it. We can't ever earn God's love. We can't ever be good enough. It is a gift. Okay, so on to my second letter. O is for O Come, Emmanuel. And I'm going back to the Jesus Storybook Bible now. We're going to look at the birth of Jesus. Everything was ready. The moment God had been waiting for was here at last. God was coming to help his people, just as he promised in the beginning. But how would he come? What would he be like? What would he do? Mountains would have bowed down. Seas would have roared. Trees would have clapped their hands. But the earth held its breath. As silent as snow falling, he came in. And when no one was looking, in the darkness, he came. And we now, as Christians, we live with the fact that love has come. The people of Israel, when they called out, O come, Emmanuel, they were waiting, they were longing for a saviour to come and rescue them. But we're not waiting anymore. Jesus has come. He has done it. He's lived and he's died and he's rose again. It's finished. And we live in the good of that as Christians. And it says in Isaiah, no, it doesn't. Oh, I thought it did, but maybe it didn't. Okay. It says in Isaiah that the Lord himself will give you a sign, and a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Now, that was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born. And in Matthew 1, verse 22 to 23, he references that verse to show that Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy. So we know that love has come, that actually God has come. And it says, because we can think that God is coming in a way to condemn, but actually it says in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So as Christians, we believe that God enters our world, the world he made. And he made our world to be sinless. He made it to be perfect. He made it to be joyful. He made it to be beautiful. He made it to be without death. He made it to be without illness. We know, don't we, when someone dies, it feels so wrong. We feel that. We feel the injustice of someone we love and care about dying. It doesn't feel like that's how it was meant to be. And it isn't how it was meant to be. But actually, mankind took what God had made perfect, and we made decisions, and it got spoilt, and it got tainted, and it got ruined from how it was meant to be. We see glimpses of it, don't we? We see a beautiful sunrise or a gorgeous view, or something wonderful happens, and we try and capture it in Christmas with all the lights and with all the hope and everything around. We get glimpses of how it was meant to be. But we know it's not how it was meant to be. And the sad things that happen and the cruelty and the disappointment, that's not how it was meant to be. But even before mankind turned away from God and spoiled what he'd made, God had put into motion a plan and a solution to bring about relationship and love and redemption and forgiveness. We had nothing to give. We didn't deserve it. We couldn't have come up with the plan ourselves. But he did it all out of his love for us. And there it is. So that's God coming. So Jesus has come. We're not waiting for the Saviour. Now, there is a sense as Christians and as people who trust in Jesus, we are still in a season of waiting. Jesus came. He fulfilled all the prophecies. But he has promised that he will return. And he will make a new heavens and a new earth. And he will wipe every tear from our eyes. And there will be no more death. And there will be no more sorrow. And this will be the perfect life that it was meant to be. And there's an aching in creation. And there's an aching in our hearts for that. But actually, because love has come, because Jesus is in our hearts, actually, we can live every day. We can go through the brokenness. We can go through the pain with Jesus by our side, with God in us, surrounded and held by the love of God, even as we wait. It says in Romans 8, verses 38 to 39, "For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord." That is the wonderful hope that we have in Jesus. We are never alone. We are never abandoned. We are always loved. Okay. V, I wonder if you can guess what I'm spelling out. I'm so proud of myself. V is for visible. Okay, so this verse in John 3 actually continues. We've heard that God so loved the world that he sent his only son, and that he didn't send him into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. Now, there's a slightly, there's another bit where it goes, I've again used the message for this because I think it's just slightly easier to understand. Verses 19 to 20, "God light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for the darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God." So this reminds me of what we were reading in Romans 5. "So while we were still sinners..." Now this is difficult, isn't it? People don't like hearing about sin. As Christians, it's difficult to talk about sin. We and others can think that sin is actually just being judgmental or critical of people or their lifestyles. You've got to live this way or you're a sinner. But actually, sin is at once less than that and more than that. Sin is a heart attitude. And when I talked about us as mankind ruining this perfect world that God had made, it was because actually deep down, we didn't want to trust God. We didn't want to trust that he knew what was best for us. We didn't want to trust that he really loved us. We wanted to live our lives our way under our own rules. And actually, that has caused all sorts of problems. And now, thousands of years on from that, generation upon generation upon generation, we're born into a broken world. And the brokenness that we're born into and we live through and we experience hardens our hearts. We get hurt, we get damaged. And that can cause different things, can't it? We can view God as non-existent. He's not even there. How could there even be a God if this is what the world is like? Or we view him as a harsh parent. He's just doling out punishment. You didn't live my way, therefore, this is what you get in return. Or we view him as disinterested. Carry on. You turned your back on me, on you get. Yeah. See what you've done? Don't really care that's death. Don't really care that's disease. But that's not the God we meet in the Bible. That is not the God who reveals himself through Jesus, who comes as a baby, who has sought out the solution from the beginning of time. There is a part of our hearts that loves darkness because we are born tainted by the sin, tainted by that wanting to do things our way and not trust God. But God has made a way in Jesus to remove all of that, to remove all that stuff that would get in the way. And there are no, there's not conditions on that. He doesn't say, "Live this way and I'll love you." He doesn't say, "Do this and then I'll love you." All it requires is to trust Jesus. And actually, he removes all those things from our lives and brings us into his light. And then sometimes as Christians, we can fear exposure, can't we? We keep little bits of our lives in darkness because we don't want the light to shine on that messy bit in the corner. We think that we're going to be judged. But actually, Jesus has taken all of that for us. And I just want to remind you this morning that you are loved in every part of you. Even the dark, secret, hidden parts of you, you are so loved. And if you're in Jesus, there is no condemnation for you this morning. So you don't need to be scared to bring any part of your life into God's light. Okay, E is for everyone. So I want to show again the shadow of the cross over the crib. Because of what Jesus has done, because of God's wonderful plan of love, actually God's love is for everyone. You will never be able to earn or deserve God's love. You will never be able to buy it. All you can do is accept it and receive it. You hear the word, maybe even this morning, and there's a little part of you that starts to believe it. And then that is God's light shining into your heart, and you begin to change, and it's a permanent change. It's a forever change. And the Bible describes that as being born again. You're a new creation. You're not the same as you were. You can't see things the same way anymore because God's love has shone into your heart and shown you that you are his. And then we come to this part of the verses that we've been reading today. And these are tricky verses because him is Jesus. And it says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And it would be really tempting to leave this bit out and just talk about love this morning. But actually, there is a choice to make. And in a funny way, even the fact that you have a choice is God's love. He doesn't force you to accept his love. He hasn't made you with no will of your own. He hasn't abandoned you with no choice to choose a different way or a different future. But he does leave the choice to you. If you believe in Jesus, there is no condemnation for you. There is love. There is peace. There is God walking beside you and in you and with you. And I want to refer you back to that author's intent and that whole of the Bible, the whole of this one big story of love that God has written, that God has come and shown you. And that does leave you with a choice. Now, as Christians, I don't want to let you off the hook this morning either, and I include myself in this, because now we know what love looks like. As God's people, we've accepted his love. We've been shown true love. So now we are called to love and live lives of love, aren't we? And the question that we should be asking every day of our lives is, how can I love others as Jesus loves me? And there's some verses about this. We love because he first loved us. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And I don't know about you, but I know that in my life, I've often not been very good at loving people like Jesus loves them. I've been too quick to condemn or to judge or to do what's convenient for me. But actually, God didn't do what was convenient for him. God didn't leave us in our mess. He didn't judge us in our mess. He stepped into it. He got involved. And he came and he showed love and compassion and mercy when none was deserved. And we need to be like that as God's people, don't we? And we need his help to be like that. So this morning, I've got some ways that you might want to respond to God's love. So the first way is that you might not have heard or realized about God's love before. Maybe this is the start of God shining his light into your heart and helping you to realize that there is a God and he loves you. And he's asking you to make that choice today about whether you respond to his love and what you're going to do about that. And that's a work of God's Holy Spirit. And that's down to him. And if he's doing that in your heart, all I can do is encourage you to let him do that, to respond to him and then speak to somebody afterwards about the fact that that is what's going on in your heart and God is doing something with you. And we'd love to pray with you and support you on that journey. Next, maybe you've been a Christian a while or a short while, but you know there are areas where there's darkness. And I just want to, again, there is no condemnation for you. You do not need to come with fear of judgment this morning. God loves you. And anything that he wants to clear up or do in your life is what's best for you. Because he is the perfect parent. He is truly loving. So if there are any areas in your life, just don't come with fear. Let God come and shine his light in those areas. Next, maybe you're like me. Maybe when I was growing up, I grew up in a Christian family. I was really blessed in that way. But I couldn't experience God's love tangibly. Like I couldn't feel it. I knew I was supposed to feel it more than I did. But it was like there was a blockage there. And I'd hear other people going, oh, God loves me so much. And I'd go, oh, I know the Bible tells me so. I could sing that song. But I didn't feel it. But God is kind and he's gracious. And he does come and he removes layers. And he just meets you with that still small voice. And he whispers, I love you. And you take a little step of starting to believe it. And actually, he just grows that more and more in your heart. So maybe you want to just be able to feel God's love in a deeper way this morning. And I'll just encourage you to open your heart to him and just allow him to fill you by his Holy Spirit and just ask him to help you to feel his love in a way that is really personal for you. And then finally, maybe like me again, you need help to be able to love others like Jesus does. Maybe like me, you're too quick to judge or you can be harsh and critical of people. Or, yeah, it's just easier to walk away or leave people, not make your life even busier. And I'm not laying burdens on you this morning. Again, it's got to be good in his heart by his Holy Spirit. But it's kind of a saying yes to God that when he prompts you to do something, that actually you'll do it. You know, when he asks you to share something with someone or look after somebody or just share an encouraging word with them, that actually your answer will be yes and you'll step out in that, and that your heart will be one of love rather than judgment towards people, then actually that we need God's Holy Spirit. We can't do that ourselves. We only know what true love is because of who God is and what he's done in our lives. So it's only through him that we're going to be able to show that to others. But we want to be that, don't we? We want to be that in Bognor and in our workplaces and in our homes. We want to be those that are bringers of the love of Jesus into those places. So if we could have the band up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray Ephesians 3 verse 16 to 19 over us this morning, which is all about knowing how deep and how wide and how high God's love is and being filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And I'm going to put up a slide, hopefully it'll come up. Yeah, just with some flickering candles to remind us of the light of Jesus, the light of God who wants to shine in our hearts this morning. And as I pray it, Maybe you want to look at the candles. Maybe you just want to think about God and his light. Think about where you are on your journey. And just let God speak to you. And then we're going to go into a time of worship and just allow God to minister to us. That means to meet with us, to speak to us, to heal us, to help us, to draw alongside us. So you might want to shut your eyes, you might want to lift your hands, you might want to, or however you want to respond, you might just want to sit quietly, but I'm going to pray this over you. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.